America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And yes, a great day. I don't remember seeing anything quite like this, Jeremy. This could be record-breaking first timing. The Dow is up almost 100 points. Up, that's right. Not up from where it was, but in positive territory after 7 days in a row of going down, 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 down. It's now green. It ends up plus 99.13. The S&P 500 plus 12. Now, what the heck does this mean? By the way, if somebody can understand this or knows why this happened all of a sudden, what happened in the last hour? That, it had been down, it clawed back a little bit, then it went way down. And this is a roller coaster. Why? Does it have to do with, I don't think things are better in Ukraine. That is still a nightmare and still a very sad indication of where the Biden administration has placed us in this country. But what brought the Dow back? Let's see what they say. It's very strange. It says stocks mount comeback Monday with Dow mount stunning comeback, says CNBC. With Dow closing in the green after earlier 1,000-point loss. One of the things, William Goldman, who wrote The Princess Bride, he's a famous Hollywood screenwriter, he said, the first thing to understand about Hollywood is nobody knows anything. And I know that's not true with the stock market or picking stocks or in this is okay. Here's what the Wall Street Journal says. Stocks erase losses in wild ride. Dow cuts 1,000-point loss. It was a wild session on Wall Street with big market swings as investors assessed Russia's military buildup on Ukraine's borders and the Federal Reserve's meeting this week, which begins tomorrow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed with a gain of 101 points. See, even getting better as we're reading. Or 0.3%, erasing a 1,000-plus point drop. The S&P 500 also curbed all losses to end 0.3% higher. And the NASDAQ composite at one point down, nearly 5%, rose 0.6%. Okay. This is encouraging, and I don't know, but does it change things about how people feel about actually where the U.S. is going? Significant majorities of Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction and that American democracy is in danger, according to a new poll from NBC News. Why it matters, having recently completed his first year in office, President Biden is facing a difficult reality of an ongoing pandemic, a stalled agenda, and the low polling numbers that result. The big picture, 72% of Americans, nearly 3 out of 4, that's amazing. 3 out of 4 Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. 60% of Americans believe that their family income is falling behind the cost of living. They don't believe that. They know that because they see the cost of things. Yeah, gas and food. I mean, because everybody has to feed a car eventually, and you got to feed yourselves and your bodies, and that costs more money. So 60% of us believe that our family income is falling behind the cost of living. According to the poll, only 30% felt that they're keeping up. How many people felt that their incomes are increasing faster than the cost of living? 7%. Yeah, not too many people who think that we're getting ahead of the cost of living. 70% of respondents said that the nation cannot come together and that its partisan divisions will continue to grow. How do they get much worse than this, where you have fools going on the air and saying, oh, okay, if we take power, if our side takes power, we're going to use all that power and concentrate all our time and energy in prosecuting the other side and putting them in jail. One of the less successful aspects of the successful Trump campaign in 2016, where he lost the popular vote, of course, but he won enough in the Electoral College. He won the Electoral College by 36 votes. And was that there were people at the rallies when he would mention Hillary Clinton as opponent and chant, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And, you know, the question is, for what? What is it? I know you don't like her. I know she'd be a lousy president. I agree with that. But lock her up for what? For her emails? Mom, okay. 70% of respondents said that the nation cannot come together and that its partisan divisions will continue to grow. 76% of Americans polled said that they felt that American democracy is under threat. The bottom line, asked to describe the state of the country, the most popular responses were the first words that people said. Just what's a word describing the state of America right now? Downhill was number one. Divisive, negative, struggling, lost, and bad. Nothing about muddling through? Well, part of it is that even within the political parties, there is this ferocious fighting going on. For instance, the Democratic Party of Arizona has censured Kyrsten Sinema, their senior senator right now, and she is. They censored her because she held on to the Senate 60-vote threshold, otherwise known as the filibuster. And who thought that was the right thing to do? Bernie Sanders. Here he is on Meet the Press yesterday. This is clip 10.
You know, you look at Senator Sinema, she was censured by the Arizona Democratic Party over what some will look at as a disagreement over tactics, not over substance, but over tactics. Do you think that was an appropriate action?
Yeah, I do. I think it's exactly right. Look, on that issue of voting rights, this is something that's almost different than anything else. What that is that right now you have a Republican Party under Trump's leadership that is perpetuating this big lie that Trump actually won the election, and therefore you have 19 Republican states that are moving very aggressively into voter suppression, into extreme gerrymandering. Some of these states are doing away with the powers of independent election officials. They are moving in a very, very anti-democratic way. And it was absolutely imperative that we change the rules so that we could pass strong voting rights legislation. All Republicans voted against us. Two Democrats voted against us. That was a terrible, terrible vote. And I think what the Arizona Democratic Party did was exactly right.
Okay, and guess what? Do you think this is going to help Mark Kelly, who's the other Arizona Democrat senator, and they need him just as much as they needed Sinema? They need every single vote. They lose one vote in the Senate, they lose control of the Senate, and welcome back to Mitch McConnell as Senate Majority Leader. Now, speaking of fighting, it's not only the Democrats all fighting against Kyrsten Sinema. It's the fight in the Republican side. Which fight? The fight between who's going to really be the leader of the Republican Party in Congress. Is it going to be Mitch McConnell or Donald J. Trump? Interesting column about that by Juan Williams. We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show. With 73% of Americans believing that we are headed in the wrong direction, they are pointing out at NBC that is the third worst rating in history for that kind of polling. And this is terrible. And I do believe that part of it has to do, of course, with the ongoing pandemic. Part of it has to do with the new inflation. But a great deal to do has to do with the hideous levels of crime. This case in New York is too terrible. Just really too terrible, where young cops were called by a woman. It turns out she was a middle-aged woman who said that her son was going crazy and was threatening them, and she needed the police to come over and talk to her son. And this is the kind of thing that they have to do all the time. So there was a whole family scene, and it's described in some detail. And they went to the apartment, and the mother was there with another son, a younger son, and said that the son with trouble was in there. They didn't warn the police that he had a gun that he had rigged up. And so they went in to talk to him, and he opened the door and started firing. And one cop killed on the spot, 22-year-old Jason Rivera. Another one in critical condition. I believe he passed also. But the alleged killer, LaShawn McNeil, was on probation. He had 5 prior arrests. He was shot in the head by a rookie who was the only one of the 3 cops who was still up, and worked heroically and shot at him, as he said, not just to protect himself, though that would have been enough, but to protect the family that was menaced. Mayor Eric Adams, who was a former captain in the police department, the NYPD, ordered flags to be flown at half staff across the city to honor a rookie NYPD officer, Jason Rivera, who was slain on Friday night, which is when all this happened. And the mayor went on CNN to talk about what his administration, brand new, is going to be doing to counteract more tragedies of this nature. This is clip 13A.
Gun unit. I talked to our administration, analyzing all of the tools and resources that we have. I'm going to roll out a real plan this week when I speak to the New York public. And we're going to go after the underlying reasons you're seeing crime in our city. This is a sea of crime that's being fed by many rivers, and we have to dam each one of those rivers. And we have been unsuccessful to do so throughout the years. These crimes did not start during my administration. They have been here for far too long in many parts of our community. We have to go after those laws that are not realistic on understanding what's happening on the ground. We have to stop the flow of guns. And then we have to deal with the institutional problems. We have failed to educate black and brown children in the city of New York, if not this entire country.
And look, would that be a welcome thing if, like a prior mayor of New York, Giuliani? Yes, that same Rudy Giuliani was a great mayor of New York. If Eric Adams could follow that example and inspire the whole country. But part of what that means is blocking this stupidity of not requiring bail, basically letting people out. emptying our jails, shortening jail terms. And then we also need, as Mayor Adams says, a plainclothes anti-gun unit, which is a lot like what was very successful in New York for Mayor Giuliani and Mayor Bloomberg, which was stop and frisk. This is Mayor Adams, clip 13B.
Well, immediately, we're going to reinstitute a newer version of a plainclothes, modified plainclothes anti-gun unit. I talked about this on the campaign trail. Our team has done the proper analysis, and now we're going to deploy that. And you're going to see a visible presence in our subway system.
Okay, which is so important. They had another pushing. They had a woman, 61 years old, who was pushed in front of the subway. She died. There was a man who was pushed in front of the subway. He was able to scramble out of the way, but that's came very close to dying, and he was injured. And they've had over 400 incidents like that in 2021. It's more than one a day. And incidents of some kind of assault in the subway system. So this is crucial. The The only Republican representing New York City in Congress is Representative Maliotakis, who is from Staten Island. And she spoke about the shooting, tragic shootings of these young officers on Friday. This is clip 7.
Much of the sadness and frustration you heard from PBA President Pat Lynch last night, this was preventable. And sadly, enough is enough. We really need to change the laws of New York and New York City to ensure that we put these bad guys behind bars. Repeatedly, we've warned about this. We've said that these dangerous bail law that the Democrats passed in Albany were leading to more people being released. In fact, the detectives union recently told me that 9 out of 10 people found with criminal possession of a weapon are being released back onto the street. And 50% of the people that actually shoot somebody are being released back onto the street without bail because of these laws. And it just has to stop. And I'm begging my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, let's work together to fix our city.
Okay, it's extraordinarily urgent, and it's not just New York, because in Philadelphia they have this unbelievably liberal and soft on crime and all attention to the criminal, not to the public. The district attorney right now, who is a disaster, Kirshner, I believe his name is, and in Los Angeles, they're dealing with Gaskin, and New York, up in San Francisco. Across the country, they have these radicals, as we did here with Pete Holmes. Well, we voted him out of office in Seattle. Things should get better. How about the rest of the country? We'll be right back. And on the Michael Medved show, that NBC News poll that just released, big new poll, they claim it's the most accurate polling system that they've ever deployed. We'll see. They show that the support for Biden, his approval rating among black voters, has declined during his first year in office, and declined by a lot. It went from 83% to 64%. Now, usually, if you are a Democrat and you are falling below 70% support from black voters, you don't win, because the black voters have been so overwhelmingly Democratic. And it's one of the problems when you rely upon identity politics and identifying people as by color, that's going to come back and bite you. And I believe that one of the reasons that you've had so much negativity here that has pumped up in the black community is because of the crime issue, where, of course, black people are the primary victims, disproportionately the victims of crime, violent crime, pointless shootings like the killing of these cops in New York City. 1-800-955-1776. Let's go to Greg in Aberdeen, Washington. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, you know, I talked to you a while back, and I got a little bit over anxious or whatever, and so I wanted to apologize for that.
That's okay. It's my job, and it's fine. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay. Well, first of all, I am in favor of the protests about the masks and the mandates. I've talked to you before about my decision not to take the injections, and also, you know, I think it should be a person's choice. And now it seems to be bearing out what I said, that they're not really protecting us. The shots are not really protecting people. People are more apt to catch the new Omicron. I've heard of people getting it two or three times that have been fully vaccinated. So,
this is important, Greg. And seriously, this is not just a political issue. This is a two guys talking to each other in front of a bunch of other people. But you need to know this. There have been major studies now, three major studies that came out last week. And the main impact of the vaccines for the Omicron variant, you're right, it doesn't stop you from getting the Omicron, but it stops you from getting sick with it. In other words, the big impact is that you do not get hospitalized. You do not die if you take, and by the way, the chances of death with the Omicron virus are about 40 times higher if you're unvaccinated than if you've been properly vaccinated and boosted. Now, of course, you're right. It's your body, your choice. But what's interesting to me is, did you hear some of the stuff that I played about with Robert Kennedy Jr. and things like that from the rally?
I did, and, you know, I've listened to him and, you know, talk about the issue and stuff like that. And so there's some things I agree with him, some things I don't, you know.
But here's the question I would like to put to you, and I'll give you a chance to answer, is how does it help the country to discourage vaccines? In other words, you can say to somebody, oh, the vaccine's not going to do you any good, it's not going to help. How is it going to help to get fewer people vaccinated when the evidence is in state after state after state, the higher your rate of vaccines, the lower your rate of hospitalizations?
Well, there's conflicting data on that, Michael. And so, you know,
with all respect, there isn't. There just isn't.
You know,
If you can find some conflicting data, send it to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, right now I don't have it right in front of me, but, you know, I could find it. But my point is there's two schools of thought on this thing. And so it should be up to the individual. And I'm not anti. If people want to do it, go ahead. You know, I told you before, you know, my wife, you know, she did it. And so she, you know, she's got some, you know, not a lot of health issues, but for healthy people, and especially for, why are they pushing this on children? On young teens and stuff, Michael, you know the data on that, and I'm not even going to debate.
Right,
it
because you're right that the chances of kids getting it are much less than adults, but they get even less when they get the vaccine. And here again is a question: Do you think things would be better in this country if they just if nobody had gotten vaccinated? if we just hadn't done the whole program, Trump hadn't done the warp speed, Operation Warp Speed, if the vaccines had never happened, do you think things would be better for America?
You know, we'll never know because
we do know. There's a new CDC study headline: boosters protect against severe disease from Omicron. Three reports released on Friday, that's this last Friday, it's 3 days ago, by the Centers for Disease Control using real-world data show booster shots are effective at preventing vaccinated people from suffering from severe illness if infected with COVID-19. The data here show the protection provided by vaccines and the importance of being up to date on your COVID-19 vaccination, which for tens of millions of Americans means getting a booster dose. In other words, given the fact that they have three major studies, they have experience state by state by state where there's a very close correlation between the number of unvaccinated people and the number of people who get seriously ill and jam our emergency rooms and intensive care. Why do you say we'll never know? How is it that with literally 860,000 people dead already, and what do we have? We have 60 million Americans, I think, who've had the disease.
Okay, let me respond. Okay. You're saying 800. We don't know how many of those people actually died from it or from something else, and they had it, and so they just counted it. That's a fact, that they're counting people that died from other causes. But let's get off the... Let's get off that and let's talk about another thing that you were talking about. And you were talking about Newt Gingrich and what he was saying, and that, you know, yeah, this isn't a tit for tat. It's trying to get people to be accountable for breaking the law.
Okay, what law do you think Newt Gingrich was talking about? The people, hold on. He was talking about the people who are trying to investigate what happened in Washington, D.C., when people broke into the Capitol building and fought with police officers. And there's 700 of those people have already been arrested. There are about 100, I believe, have already pleaded guilty. So what law do you think the people investigating the attack have broken, has been broken?
Well, you know, I just heard a little bit of what he said, and so it sounded to me like he wasn't just talking about the committee, investigative committee. He was talking in a broader range. It sounded to me.
So what laws? About Hillary Clinton, I spoke about where they said lock her up. What do you think she should have been locked up for?
Obstruction of justice. It was clear.
When? With what?
What do you mean when?
I mean, when you are trying to put someone in jail, you have to point to a crime and a specific crime. I think Hillary's a lousy politician. I wouldn't vote for her. But that doesn't mean she needs to go to jail. And for what? We'll be right back on the MedVed Show. And on the Michael Medved Show, one of the ways that you win in elections is you try as much as you can to unite your side and let the other side fight among themselves. One of the things that is terrific about the courage, frankly, and I think it did take courage, of Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema, is that the Democratic infighting on this issue is just so incredibly bitter. The fact that she is censured because she voted in favor of a Senate tradition that has been there since the beginning of the U.S. Senate, the tradition that says that to get something done in the Senate, you need more than just 50% plus one. You actually need now it used to be 67%. You'd need two-thirds. Now you need 60%. And then you can go on with that kind of margin. That's how they got Obamacare through, because people forget that President Obama, when he came in, had that 60-vote margin. He lost it eventually with Scott Brown, I think, winning the Senate seat in Massachusetts. But in any event, Ro Khanna, who's very, very much on the left in the Democratic Party, Representative Khanna had this to say about the Arizona Democrats voting to censure. That's to basically persecute, punish, disapprove of Kyrsten Sinema, their senator, who they need to have win or they lose their Senate majority. In any event, here's what he said about Senator Sinema, who is not popular among her fellow Democrats at the moment. Clip 9.
Give me your thoughts on what's just happened in the state of Arizona relative to Senator Kyrsten Sinema.
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, if you are a Democrat and you can't uphold the fundamental right to vote for all citizens, regardless of race, then there's a problem. And I think what the Arizona State Party is saying is that Kyrsten Sinema no longer reflects our values.
What does that say to her about her future?
I don't think there's any chance she wins a Democratic primary. I mean, whether it's Ruben Gallego or someone else, there are a number of other people who I think would not just win against her in a Democratic primary, would win decisively. So then the question is, what does she do? Maybe she runs as an independent. Maybe she chooses to do something else. I don't know. But what I can say is that I would be shocked if she was competitive in a Democratic primary in Arizona.
Well, again, guess what? First of all, she doesn't have to run this time. She isn't up for re-election until 2024. Secondly, there is no way that she would lose in a general election. And frankly, if she did run as an independent, that would probably be the very, very best thing for her and for the state of Arizona. It would not be a good thing for the Democratic Party, because if she was forced out of the party and ran as an independent, who knows? She could caucus with the Republicans, give them a majority. I mean, how foolish is that? Let me go to Jay in Granite Falls, Washington. Jay, you're on the Medved Show.
Hey, thanks, Michael. I'll start out by saying I love your show. Been with you since day one, and I mean that.
I thank you. Thank you.
Sir. Sometimes you frustrate me, but that's okay. We're all Americans here. So, listen, regarding the Delta virus and the Omicron virus, I refuse to get any shots regarding this. I'm not going to take the vaccine. And I said that from day one. And a year ago, I got the Delta virus, and it wasn't that bad. I'm a diabetic, so I took a risk. But I just said, I know where I'm going when I die, and I'm not going to take this vaccine. So I got the Delta. I walked through it. It was a little tough, not bad. And then I got the Omicron just recently, and it was much easier to get through than the Delta. It didn't last as long. Symptoms weren't as severe. So, and like I said, I'm 59. I'm a diabetic, and I don't have – I mean, I'm a type 2, but, I mean, I just don't see. I love the fact that we have in America, we've always had a choice whether we take it or not. They've recently come out now, the government has, saying, okay, you can get the virus even if you've gotten the booster, even if you've got the original shot, you can still get it and you can still give it. It just lessens the severity.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Jay. You're aware that I don't know if you have kids. But if you do, you know that they had all these mandatory vaccines in school for them to go to school in Washington State, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Are you opposed to that?
No way, man.
Okay,
no way.
Good. Okay, you're sane. Good. I like that. So given the fact that your kids are getting all these shots, I think it's 9 of them they get in order to go to school in our state. Why are you so opposed to getting a vaccine for yourself? I mean, especially with you've had a bad experience with Delta, you have it Omicron. Don't you think it's enough? Don't you want to be done with Delta, with the COVID-19?
Well, Michael, I'm a critical thinker, and I look at videos that are not that YouTube is not allowed them on. I went to alternate media sites, and there's enough question with doctors, lots of them, that won't take the virus, won't take the vaccine. That I've seen the science, and it doesn't look promising. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get killed. I don't want the spike
protein
in my body.
Over 97%, it's close to 98% of all physicians are fully vaccinated. And those who aren't will often have a medical condition that prevents it. Now, diabetes, as I understand it, most people who are diabetic are in increased risk of severe reaction to COVID-19, right?
I agree. I hear that, but I'm living testimony. I mean, I'm walking around. I'm driving a truck right now.
Thank God. Thank God. And you should continue to be fine. And the truth is, the overwhelming percentage of people who get COVID, and this is true even of Delta, which was much more virulent, even though it wasn't as transmissible. But the fact is that though most people don't die, and most people don't have long-term impact or consequences, many people do. I mean, I know people both who have died of COVID-19. We've had people over to the house who are no longer alive because they got COVID-19, not at our house. But other people who have problems with their sense of taste and their breathing, and it can have all kinds of long-term consequences. It's one of those things. If you look at the COVID cases in the January 23rd, most recently, we have fully vaccinated 210 million people in this country. And we've had the deaths are way down, partially because of the vaccinations. In 2022 so far, at this point in the year, last year we had over 3,300 deaths by this point in the year. Now it's 571. So we're getting out of this. And I thank God you've survived two different bouts with the disease. And sounds like you're a pretty tough and healthy guy, and it should continue for you. But again, recognize that it's going to be better for your neighbors and for other people in the country the more people who actually get the jab. You can get the last word here. Oh, okay. By the way, here's in terms of COVID cases, there are here's a remarkable, boy, this is an amazing number. Let's just explain it for a minute. There, in terms of COVID cases, we've had 210 million now people, adults, fully vaccinated. And we've had far more cases than before, than in 2021, so far in 2022, and just a fraction of the deaths. Now, that's an indication that the vaccines are not only helping to prevent getting the disease, but helping you survive it and come out again to enjoy life on the other end in this greatest nation on God's green earth.